Have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Have you seen the melee that has taken place on Friday morning, especially at some of the Walmarts in the area? One in Orlando, I still consider that in the area. Did you see it on the news? They had to restrain a shopper in the Walmart in Orlando because he was going for one of those $350 computers. And what they don't realize is that Walmart only stocks 20. The local Walmart here only stocked 20 of those computers. I knew that on Wednesday. I planned to go down on Friday. And at 5:20, I was at Walmart because I wanted to snatch one of those puppies up. And they were gone. So for $50 more, I did go over to Staples, and I finally got myself a little laptop that we're going to be able to use here in the sanctuary in the church, and I'm all excited about that. But it is just crazy out there with people, running over old ladies and little children to get into a store for some of these super bargains. And they really are. They had good bargains if you were into electronics this past week. But it just reminds me that we are coming into a time of the year when people are more stressed out than any other time of the season. You'll find and hear of more murders and suicides and things at this time of the year because people grow despondent. In fact, we were going to attempt to minister in some way to the trailer park across the street. And some of you, most of you knew that we wanted to reach out to them in some way. Did you read in the paper yesterday where there was a fellow who was stabbed in the trailer park across the street? It just goes to show that we have a great need in our area. People are tense. People are all nerved up. People just don't know how to respond to the pressure. It is the pressure to find a good bargain on a product that you want. It's the pressure, in all honesty, to kind of keep up with the Joneses. Maybe I have the thing all wrong, but sometimes we get Christmas to mean how many gifts can we buy. You ever find yourself buying gifts that you really don't want to buy for anybody? I'm the only one? Okay, Jennifer, me and Jennifer are the only two who buy gifts for people we sometimes don't want to buy gifts for, you know? And sometimes you do that because, well, it's expected. And then you want to do well for your children, and so there's just not one gift under the tree. There are dozens of gifts under the tree. And you say, well, that's the norm. That's the way it ought to be. You know, that's the way my daughter liked it, right, Aaron? And she still loves it. Still loves it. If there are not dozens, multiplied dozens, you get tired of opening the presents. Thankfully, they're all bought with cash, but the subject still remains. You've just got to be able to remember the reason for why we come together. This is not a Christmas message this morning, but it is a message of a reminder that people are under tremendous strain today. Perhaps I think people have always been under pressure, but I really think that the pressure seems to be a little more intense in our day and age. And so I come to a passage of Scripture that helps me relax, that helps me become calm, that helps me to see the real and keep the focus on the real meaning of my life. It isn't around buying all the gifts that I can get or getting all the gifts that I can get. It isn't about the pressure of existing and living extremely well in this life and having the things that all this world has to offer. That isn't the real purpose. The real purpose is this. It says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. An invitation of Jesus to come. I don't know about you, but I really can remember a time when life was a little bit easier. It wasn't so going here and there and going every minute of the day. In the area of the country that I grew up in, we had some big towns around us. Youngstown was a large town. Warren was a large town. But we lived out in the suburbs, and the nearest neighbor was probably 100 yards away on either side of us. So we were able to have some space and property, which, you know, kind of like the home on Revere Road. You know, you just got some neighbors that are just, they're spread out. They're not right next door. That's not zero, you know, property line for them building anymore. Yeah, I enjoyed that kind of life. I still enjoy the time when you can just sit out on a lawn chair and take it easy and read. I still enjoy the time to go down to the beach on a Friday afternoon or Friday evening and pull out the chairs from the car, or just even sit in the car, maybe read a book and watch the sun set. A time when people took time to sit on their porches and just watch what other people were doing, or just converse with whoever it was that came walking by your home. Those are some relaxing times, some less stressful times. Some of you are grown up and you can't even remember a less stressful time. You don't remember those old chats and those sitting, you know, by and watching the world go by. It is get up in the morning and your day is scheduled from minute one to the very time when you're going to bed. Because of the different schedules of your work, different schedules of your children, different schedules of your appointments and things of that nature, we are just going, going, going. Jesus offers us something. He says, I want you to come. I want you to come, all ye who are weary. Doesn't that sound even inviting? Come on, have a seat with me. Come on down and take it easy. Come on down and rest for a while. Stop your mind from running all over the place and just think about life and think about where you are. Jesus says, come unto me. So there's a place that we ought to come. But notice who is able to come. He doesn't say, come unto me, all of you who are knowledgeable of the Word of God. Come unto me. He doesn't say, come unto me, all of you who don't think you have a problem in the world. The invitation isn't to those who have all their plans together, they have their act together. It is, come unto me, all ye who are weary. I'm finding that people are very weary. Even Christians are weary today. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether the schedule of life keeps us going so much or whether we're just... You know, I sometimes think, I was talking yesterday to a fella, that sometimes when your life is good and things are going good around you, and it's going good around you for a while, I mean, there may be those aches and pains and little nicks in the family, but for the most part, your life is good. I think sometimes when life is good, we sometimes take it for granted, and we get tired of even the way we're living. And we have to refresh ourselves and say, look, do you need to be alone with Christ? Do you need to be alone with Him? Do you recognize your need? Someone has said there are two kinds of sick consciences that we have. One kind is this, that you take... There are those that are not aware enough of sin. That's one kind. There is a sick conscience out there that says, you know, if Jesus offered the invitation, come unto me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, some of us wouldn't come. Some of us couldn't come. We wouldn't know how to come. Because in our mind, thinking, in our own thoughts, we've got our act pretty much together. There's no reason for us to run to Christ. There's no reason, because everything is just going so well. And we're so used to it going so well that nothing really ruffles it. And little sins creep into our life. Well, little sins like, have you told someone about Jesus this week? Little sins like your reaction to when other people do wrong in your life or do wrong to you. Sometimes we don't even know how sinful we are because we're not aware of it. I sometimes don't know how sinful I am because I compare myself to other people. Don't you? I mean, we kind of gauge our life on how is the next guy doing, and am I doing better than the next guy? And as I compare myself, and as you compare yourself to those here in this congregation, we're all probably doing pretty good. And so we say, well, there's probably not a whole lot of sin going on. But when I compare myself to the perfect life of Christ, when I compare myself to the holiness of God, I've got to say, man, I don't measure up. And I need to know that I don't measure up. Now, there's a certain kind of sick conscience that says, I'm a sinner, and I don't even know that I'm a sinner. There is sin in my life, and I'm not even aware of it. I want to let you know something. Jesus can't help you. He really can't. He's not your answer. And the reason he's not your answer is because you don't think you have anything that he needs to correct or that he needs to help you with, because you've got it all together. He says, come unto me, all ye who are weary. You're just tired of the struggling and the toil. All you who are weary and are heavy laden. There's a load on you. I can tell by looking at us that some of us have a really heavy load on our conscience in our life. Because you're downcast, you're sad, you're worried, you're scared, you're uncertain of what the future has. You're tired of life, you're tired of sickness, you're tired of worrying about what's going to happen, and you've got this load on you. You see, you may have that other kind of sick conscience. That other kind of sick conscience is the one who says, not only do I not even know enough that I have sin, but it's those who are not aware enough of sin's pardon, that you have been pardoned from your sin. I talk with people in our congregation on a regular basis that keep beating themselves up over the sin that they have done years ago, or maybe even last month, because they're having trouble struggling with it. And folks can't realize that, and don't realize that, you know, when you've confessed your sin, God has forgiven it. He's removed it. Not only has he removed the sin, he's removed the guilt from the sin. But some can't seem to let go of the fact that God has forgiven the guilt of my past, the guilt of my sin. And so we keep beating ourselves up. There are some, I don't know what your sin might be, but let me pick one that doesn't have, to my knowledge, to do with anybody here. You know, some ladies have had abortions in their past. And they can't seem to shake the fact that though they did it in their ignorance, and though they've cried for forgiveness, they never realize that God has forgiven them. Some of you have had relationships that have gone south, they've gone bad. You know, when you said, I do at the altar, you really intended until death alone shall separate us. And it didn't work out. And some feel like failures because of that. I want to let you know something. You are just the type of person that needs to know that if you've confessed any sin concerning that relationship, what's past is past. You really can't undo it. But I want to let you know something. God doesn't hold it over your head as a constant nagging sin that you always have to give answer for. And God wants us to know that we can come and enjoy His presence in the clarity of our conscience. Because we've confessed that which we know, and we're very sensitive to that which we are about to do, those sins that we do. We keep a clean account with God. So God says, I want you to come if you're weary, if you're heavy laden, if you're burdened down. I want you to come. Have you ever heard about those people who go to church? And maybe you're one of those people who are nearing that point, and you ask them to do something in the church. Hey, teach another Sunday school class. Oh, Pastor, I'm just all burned out. I can't teach it. I'm just all burned out. There's a lot of burnout going on. I don't know that 40 years ago I heard about anything about burnout, but there's a lot of burning going on in the Christian family, in the Christian life. You know what that burnout's from? It's from relying on our own abilities to complete a ministry that is God-sized. And when you rely on yourself to do a God-sized task, yeah, you're going to get burned out. Do you think Tiger Woods likes to play golf? I think he likes to play golf. I think it's what he lives to do. He does it well. Really, he is just coming up on 30 years old. And he's done more in his 20s than some people have done their entire careers in the golf field. He's a tremendous athlete. But can you imagine him saying, oh, I'm quitting golf. At age 31, he's quitting golf. I'm going to retire. Why? Because I'm burned out on it. No, he really has a love and a drive and a passion for the game. He enjoys it. John Gruden, do you think he loves football? No. I think that man is intense. I think that he loves football with a passion. Can you imagine him saying, I'm just all burned out on football, don't want to do it anymore? Football is his life. He wouldn't know what to do with his life if it weren't for football. Bobby Bowden is the same way. Joe Paterno. These guys are in their 70s. Do you think that football, they're burning out on football? No. They have lived. They have thrived. They ate, drank, and slept. Football. That was their driving passion, the driving force. I can't imagine any of them saying, well, I'm just burned out. Yeah, why do we get to the Christian church and we find so many people burned out? Because they're trying to do something for which there is not a passion that drives them. Teaching a Sunday school class of children isn't your passion, but you do it because nobody else will. And some of you with the passion to teach Sunday school with children don't, because we already have someone there. And what we need to do is match people up with their passions to do what they're really passionate about and love to do. That way we don't have to worry about burnout, because you can't stop the ministry, even if you wanted to. I have to admit, occasionally I do enjoy the break from preaching. But just to sit in a church and not teach, I couldn't do that. Just sit in a congregation and blend in and not be productive for the kingdom of God, can't do it. I got to sing. I gotta teach someone something. Even if I weren't getting paid for it, I'd still want to do it. Because that's what I love to do. That you feel when you do that, that it's the power of God working in and through you. And you feel God's pleasure in it. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened. In fact, Matthew chapter 23, verses 2 and 4, have this to say. It says, teachers of the law and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, and you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and they put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. I really believe that people are burned out on church because the church can sometimes put undue restriction on people in their prayers, in their activities, in their demands, in their lifestyle. I mean, there are some churches today that want to play the Holy Spirit in your life. A lot of our ladies are wearing slacks today. I want to let you know something. In some churches, you couldn't go there in slacks. I don't care what day of the week it is. Some of you have some makeup on today. And some of you need some. No, some of you... I just wanted to see if you're paying attention. Some of you couldn't be in churches today because of the makeup and the jewelry and the way the ladies are dressed. I don't see anyone here with long hair. But if you had long hair, we're lucky to find men in the congregation that have hair to begin with. But I don't see anyone with long hair. Do you realize that in some congregations you couldn't get in, guys, because your hair would be too long? I mean, that's true. Do you realize that if I preached from the New International Version of the Bible, there are some churches I am not welcome to preach in, and they think I'm a heretic? That's just the way people have compounded what they believe to be right, what they believe to be the Scripture's teaching. And it's wrong. It really is wrong when you lay down the law and they want to play the Holy Spirit in your life. You know what's great about Jesus? He says, look, I want you to come to me and I'm not going to worry about the law. You know what I want you to do? I want you to follow me. You know what I want as the pastor of this church? I want you folks to love Jesus so much that there's never any worry about where you are spiritually. There's never any worry about what you're doing with your life. There's never any worry about what God is going to do with you because you are living your life to love Jesus. And when you live your life to love Jesus, then you know what it is to relax and come. We're not looking to pile laws and restrictions on you. I just want you to love Jesus. You love Jesus, and then you behave and act your life and live your life accordingly and how you think Jesus would have you live it. Now, for some of you, that will be tremendously different than me. But that's okay. I won't enforce my standards on you. You don't enforce your standards on me. I'm going to live my life in absolute freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this is what exactly the Lord wants us to do. He says, listen here, come unto me, all you who labor, and take my yoke upon you. And learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Twice in these verses, he says, I want you to find rest. Is your soul at rest in God today, or do you feel some kind of pressure or tension in there? Jesus is not offering us to throw off the yoke of obeying the law and trust him and then have no restraint at all. He's saying, look, I'm not setting you free from one yoke of bondage to the church or to the scriptures or to the law. He says, and then just go scot-free. I want you to substitute yokes. I want you to take off the yoke that is burdensome, the yoke that drives you down, the yoke that doesn't encourage you, the yoke that really binds you up in your spiritual life. And I want you to forget that one. But he says, I want you to take up my yoke. In other words, this isn't the freedom just to do away with one yoke and say, now you say, well, I've got Jesus, once saved, always saved, I'm going out and living a good time. No, Jesus says, you will find rest in me as you trade one yoke for another. You trade one piece of garment for another piece. And I want you to hitch up with me, because my work that I give you, you will find is light. And it's easy when you do it with me, when you learn from it. In other words, I want you, Christ says, to follow and pattern your life after me. And with what I will teach you. You know how you know what the life of Christ is? You really have to spend time in the book. Well, how much time have you spent in the book this week? It's been a busy Thanksgiving week, hasn't it? And I don't know about you, unless you set up some kind of time on a regular basis to be with God, you know, this is going to get put on a back shelf, on a back burner, and some of you are going to miss your devotions, and because I miss my devotions. Things get so hectic and so busy, and there are special occasions, and sometimes I'm here and sometimes I'm there, and I don't always get to it. I don't know about you, but I bet you're the same way. You just don't always get to it. Jesus said, I want you to know that for you to take my yoke upon you, you've got to learn of me, and the only way to learn of him is through this book. You must read it. For those of you who don't read, who don't like reading, I understand that. Most everybody has a CD player. You know, the Bible's on CD. Read it. Hear it. Listen to it. When you're walking around the block, when you're doing your exercise, when you're working around the house, throw the scripture in. Well, Pastor, won't that be sacrilegious if I'm, you know, vacuuming and dusting to the sound of the reading of scripture? Not at all. I'd rather hear a little bit than none at all. So listen to it. Do it, because God wants you to hook up with him. And then what does he promise? You'll find rest for your souls. This is really a fulfillment passage. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 6. It says, and you'll find rest for your souls. It's almost an exact quote. And what he's telling the people here is this. Jeremiah told you there would come a time when you would find rest for your weary souls. And he says, I want you to come to me because you will find rest for your weary souls. He comes and he says to the people, I'm proving to you today that today I am fulfilling this scripture in your hearing. I'm fulfilling this scripture in your life so that today you will know beyond any shadow of a doubt that the Lord has come to give you peace, to give you joy, to make your burden light. Is your burden light today? Or are you kind of burdened down with the cares and the woes of the day-to-day troubles? Wasn't it Matthew again who says in chapter 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And don't be concerned about tomorrow. Because what does he say? Remember that verse? Because tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. Today, while it's called today, Jesus extends the invitation for you to come. Not to trust him as Savior. This congregation probably doesn't need that. But Jesus says, I want you to come, because there's a lot of Christians who are just uneasy. You're burdened down. You're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulder, and the love of God is not being able to shine through for you. The work of God isn't coming through in your life. And you're just at wit's end, and you don't know how to do it. And he says, just come to me. Father, may this day we come to you in honesty, in integrity of heart. May we be people who will indeed see our need to come to you. And not be so standoffish and proud. that we reject your teaching, that we reject fellowship with you. Father, give each of us the peace and the rest that you've promised, not just for eternity, not just for heaven, for that's promised in that passage as well. But give us rest today. Not that we don't have things to do, but we do have things to do. And in all of our doing, we need to have the peace and the rest that the Lord promises in this passage. So that when we meet someone who is all stressed out, we know how to counsel. We know how to talk with them. We know how to meet their need because, well, you've met our need. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. I know the Spirit of God is in each of us who've claimed Him as Savior. But not all of us have been filled with the Spirit. Not all of us know what it is to turn our entire life over to the Spirit's control, where He has absolute sway in our life as to what we do. And I ask you this day that we might do that, to find the peace of God, find rest for our souls. Thank you for the time we share together in the Word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.